Ramble.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
So here's what I wrote. Tell me what you think.
Wait, no, you should get this. You should record us judging you fully.
Okay. All right, yeah, so this is my intro to the show.
Intro, yeah.
Oh, now the pressure's on. Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the show that loves what it loves. Each week we talk about some of our favorite movies and TV shows that might not be good, but that doesn't mean they're not great. This week we're talking about the new Netflix Shondaland smash hit, Bridgerton. If you haven't seen it, we got you. Spoilers ahead, because duh. Bridgerton. How y'all... Oh, I'm Zach Kornfeld. Joining me, as always, Kelsey Darrah and Garrick Bernard. Hey, friends.
Go ahead, Garrick. Tell
them. I liked
him.
It. I liked it. I didn't hate it.
Zach just tested his intro log line on us. Can you just give us the piece again so the audience can, like, analyze?
Each week we talk about some of our favorite movies and TV shows that might not be good, but that doesn't mean they're not great.
There it is.
I like
what do you think, Rick? As professional TV writer.
It doesn't mean they're not great. Say it again. Say it again. One more time. Let me get it.
I have to do the intro a third time?
Yeah, no.
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the show that loves what it loves. Each week we talk about some of our favorite movies and TV shows that might not be good, but that doesn't mean they're not great.
You need to say, doesn't mean they're not guilty, and then slam a Judge Judy gavel on your desk.
We got to get that good and that great out of there. But other than that, I'm golden. I
thought it was perfectly Zach.
So we don't like the good and great. So that means we do not like this. Okay, well, fuck Bridgerton. Let's fix this intro first.
The whole episode. Yeah.
Like, there's no way I can't not talk about Bridgerton. So we're going to have to fully side table like whatever the fuck problems is going on in your lives and in America by the time that this comes on, unless something really bad has happened. Then, like, I'm so sorry. Maybe this is still an escape for you, but I only want to talk Bridgerton. And Garrick, how excited are you for this episode?
I've been dreading it all day, if I'm being honest.
This is a safe space. Be honest.
Why, Rick?
I abhor. I do not like period pieces at all. So every time I'm transported into the past, I get terrified.
You didn't like A Fucking Knight's Tale?
No. What? No.
We got you problems like, now.
You didn't like Black Knight?
No. No, I didn't like Black Knight. I didn't like Black Knight because it was annoying that Martin Lawrence, like... wasn't in chains in the like. Okay, that's a dirty joke. That's a dirty joke.
Well, let's tell people about Bridgerton. Bridgerton is the new hit show from Shonda Rhimes. You've got Daphne Bridgerton. She's a young ingenue on her first season trying to get wed to be married. And then you've got the Duke. His name is Simon. He's so freaking fine. And he doesn't want to get married. But then they decide to team up. And she says... I need to have the attention of all the hotties in the land, and you need to get... And he's like, oh, I don't want all the mamas to be trying to get me to wed their daughters. So they hatch a plot, they pretend to be in love, but then they actually fall in love.
Okay, but here's... First off, here is a question for the audience. Does that sound familiar? Yes, it does.
It because sounds
it's literally
so familiar.
Every fucking rom-com I've ever seen in my life. It's The Proposal, it's Gossip Girl, it's most of these things. Anyway, I'm
don't
sorry.
You fucking bring Gossip okay, Girl into I'm this. Sorry. I will hurt you.
Well, it is Gossip Girl, Kelsey. There's a character named Lady Whistledown who writes Gossip Girl tabloids about the town. It's literally Gossip Girl. The show is just, it smashes together every trope you've seen, but it puts it in, what period is this?
It stuffs it into a corset like framing device and pushes it up to the top to present as a premiere television show rather than just Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
First of all, Rick, you don't get to say shit because you only watched the motherfucking pilot, which would answer your questions about why you hate going back in time. Because, like, duh, racism. I totally hear you. Yeah. But they explicitly explain in this season or in this series, like, why they're not, like, what did you say?
In chains? No!
They make it like a moment to be like, not only was this written by women, but women of color too. And it's like a, it's supposed to be something like we've never seen before, but unfortunately it's just like everything we've seen before.
So we're gonna get into the guilts and the pleasures, the things we loved, the things that we didn't so much. But while we're here, Kelsey, I didn't actually understand that. I kind of missed that part. But it what makes this different is that it is a 1700s romance show. We've seen a lot of them. But this one has got hot black people. And they're not. They're actually, they're royalty too. But so, Kelsey, basically what? There was like one, there's the black queen. And she's because like of
the
her,
queen. Yes. And she married an old white dude, essentially. And it was actually for love and not like power or like treating family the way that it used to be, like the way that like women were seen as property. and the thing that put her kind of above in status is that the king, this whole series, who's supposed to usually be the one in charge and things that we see in shows like this, is that he is like dying the entire season. And she really is just kind of in it now because she's power hungry. And so she knows that she has to maintain a certain status because she is a black woman. And she's like, oh God, if the king dies, like I have to carry this shit on. And so she's like always doing coke and like very much involved in Lady Whistledown's like drama because she wants. Yeah. Did you guys miss the coke part? See, Rick, you missed all the fun.
I miss everything.
Yeah. The little tiny spoon.
Oh, that's
I definitely missed that.
I thought that
it's like a little tiny gold spoon.
Basically, an old white dude fell in love with a black lady, and then she became queen. And because of that, now racism doesn't exist in this world.
Oh yeah, love that explanation because that's how it works.
It never exists, and not only does it not exist, but they make it a point to make sure that anyone that is in like a position of like service that normally you would see reflective of true history to be someone that is not white, that are all white men. Which I again. You got to show a little appreciation to Shonda going like, okay, thanks. So, thanks for doing that.
Okay, No, that is a... I have like
it's cool.
Two sounds of that.
You sound defeated. Racism.
Yeah. It's just... This isn't what we were talking about. What we're just like... What more black people and stuff? We weren't talking about fucking... Oh, what if the white black people had powdered wigs? It's like, no. What the fuck? No.
Wait, Bridgerton isn't reparations?
No. Not in the slightest.
So you're telling me when I marched this summer, it wasn't for Bridgerton? Because no. I'm pretty sure that was the point of this.
Oh my God, like it's...
I think it's kind of neat though. You don't think? It's like, it's nice to, it base. You know, Shonda's like, yo, everyone loves these forbidden romance stories. Let's give one to black people. And I think, thank you, Shonda.
There's nothing... Yeah, getting back into the blatant...
Racism doesn't exist.
Yeah, the racism that doesn't exist, the blatant sprinkling of black people everywhere where it's just like, black people didn't... I mean, racism doesn't exist, so on and so forth. Going past all of that and how the fact that it was probably retroactive in the writing where they're just like, let's write this show. And then Shonda Rhimes signed on and she was like, you have to put black people in this, make the queen black. This is fucking crazy. Anyway, it's an obvious retroactive thing, but nothing about the black people in this show makes it less white. Does that make sense? It is still the whitest thing I have ever watched in my, one of the whiter things I've watched in my life. And while Game of Thrones had more white characters, it was less white than this.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Game of Thrones had less black characters. It was still more white than less white than this is. It might be the Britishness of it, or like the powder wigsness of it, or like the set design and the costuming and all of that. That makes it feel more like a play than an actual show. And that's white to me. I don't know. Maybe I should have watched. I definitely should have watched past the pilot.
yeah.
I definitely should have watched past the pilot. Because then it would have been even more clear to me all of the points that I'm trying to make. All of the reasons why that's it's just what I'm the saying. Whitest show.
Just for the audience to know, he didn't even get to see them fuck. Which is like why you're watching the show. Right.
Okay.
Well, I'm excited to hear the things you don't like. I'm excited to hear the things that you love, Garrick. So Garrick, you watched one episode, not a big fan. Kelsey, you finished the whole series?
I finished the whole series in 2 days.
Damn.
Canceled meetings to do it. And love. Yeah. Just love.
I do love, every time I see a period piece like this, I do love the commitment that they take or whatever. Or like, just going full on.
Oh, so you mean budget?
Budget, horse and buggy, blah blah blah. Being in London because all of the buildings look old anyway. So that's cool.
Well, so yeah, I watched. I thought I was going to hate this. I'm with you normally, Rick. Like, period pieces, not my shit. This whole like, oh, it's romantic because they're breaking free from a patriarchal structure. I'm like, no, it's not romantic. It's still fucked up. They're like just in love with the fact that they're breaking it. But I'm on episode 6. I have no intention of slowing down. Yeah. I have found myself squealing and screaming despite myself. I'm frankly a little embarrassed by how much this show worked on me. and I think where we need to begin, where this show begins and ends, the Duke is so goddamn hot.
He needs to be 007.
I'm going to break this down for you. If you really, it's unfair. It's foolish what they did by putting a man that hot in such a lead position around those like
schlubby,
disgustingly sad looking white people because it just like dehances any features like that white, like our chins are all of a sudden are missing, we have like no color to our face, like our brow bones are fucking tiny, like everything about that man is chiseled from fucking rock. That if you really look closely at every other single cast member in this entire show, they are actually not good looking.
He makes them look disgusting. He makes them look
None of them are attractive.
And that's what I think, that's where I was like getting watching and getting from it, where I was just like, oh man, these are some ugly people. And I think it is because comparatively he's much
so
more
hot.
He looks the lead actress look like actors, you know, and then everybody else looks like somebody who was like taken off the street or whatever. It's just like, you're remotely handsome or whatever, or you're remotely attractive, you know.
Like, Garrick, even the children, I found myself being like, I even got
Garrick texted us about this and I couldn't unsee it. He said, every white man in this show has the exact same face.
the same face. It's, like, it's just like fucking mutton chops and the fucking hair. The hair flopping over the top.
Family.
Well, I couldn't keep them straight. And like, at first I thought it was a Game of Thrones thing. And then I'm like, wait, no, there's like not that many characters.
No.
They just all look exactly
the same.
And he's and like, so hot.
And even the other family that is involved, the redheaded family, they are all also the same person. Right. I was like, I don't know who's who in this situation either.
It's just like, it's tough to do that. But I mean, hats off to Shonda Rhimes for knowing how to make TV. Like, there's no there's no other way to put it, where it's just like, oh, you can just make this thing and take this idea and make it for 20 seasons if you wanted. because yep. she knows how
well
to
they're
like,
books
they're oh okay well I mean
I didn't know that either and I specifically remember thinking when this first came out and they were pushing it so hard like I was getting an ad for it I was like I'm not gonna watch the show it's not my like I really right. frankly don't like yeah. period pieces either unless you count like Harry Potter a period piece because they're in castles no.
it's not a period oh, okay. piece at all Kelsey
they're in yeah. castles they're,
what period the, is it in it's a modern
they don't have electricity
it's a modern thing.
They're
thing.
Wizards okay. it's wizards. A fantasy yeah. novel it's yeah. very clear Yeah. a different thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No one out there in the world considers Harry Potter a period piece.
Yeah.
What period do you think they're in?
1990?
What? I think that is actually technically true.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm getting off topic. My point being, I didn't want to watch this shit either because I was like, this is going to be so fucking lame. And I never watched Downton Abbey or yeah, fucking The Crown. Nah. I don't watch any of that right. shit.
Fuck them.
But I kept getting ads over and over. And I do love Shonda. And I do love me some Grey's Anatomy because the fact that you could do that many seasons of that based in the same hospital with the same fucking format happening every week and you got me to come back because it was like so spicy between characters, I knew relationships were going to be hot. And then I heard it was a best-selling book series. Mm-hmm. And the way that the books are shaped are that every book, and I think this is right, there's 6 books in total, is about a different Bridgerton child. So the the first season's about
okay.
Lady fucking yeah, Plain Face. What's her name?
Yeah.
Sure.
Her situation.
Who cares? That's the first season. So the next season is supposed to be about older Plain Face.
Yeah.
What the fuck is his name?
Is she... the brother.
Older brother.
Oh, okay.
The brother who I do... First of all, can I say...
Toxic.
The coolest... Toxic? Weird. But the best introduction so of any character. I
oh,
love
him fucking
like,
someone on a tree?
Yeah. The show is like, where is this guy? And you think you're in this normal, like, stuffy British period piece. And then it cuts to him hardcore fucking. And Sean is like, yeah. Yo, bitch, I'm on Netflix now. I can do yeah. whatever I want.
Yeah.
You're gonna look me in the eyes yeah. and tell me that you don't love the fucking Garrick?
I mean, I saw
he
one
didn't even
fucking
get
scene.
To the good fucking.
I didn't even get to it. I didn't even get to the fucking, but I've heard so much about the, I've heard that there is literally like a 20 minute scene of just sex stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, doesn't matter. I'll get to it when we get to the guilty part.
Well, I just finished watching part of episode 6. So I like right
finished?
Before this podcast came in yeah. from watching that sextage. It yeah. is just a straight up fucking montage. And I'm mm-hmm. gonna tell you what, guys, I'm feeling some things. It is
I'm yes. feeling a little hot
like
and
that,
heavy.
That
a little juicy.
Even
if
though
you
it is
me,
this,
you know
the,
what I mean.
The typical trope of like the two people that hate each other, you know they're gonna
yeah,
fall in love.
Yeah,
you know that. Yeah. And I think that they like kind of leaned into it because even though I knew that they were gonna fucking fall in love, that tension between those two was, I mean, I had to take a pause, mm-hmm. if you know what I'm saying.
First time I screamed when they are standing in the art gallery and they're looking at a painting and she mm. talks about how she likes the painting and that he sees her and then their hands, they're next to each other and they just start slowly getting closer like a little magnet between them. Maggie's making dinner in the other room. She already watched the whole show. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, ah! And I'm squealing. I can't resist. I couldn't help it.
Okay, but there's no way to talk about the amount of fucking that Lady Plain Face does without talking about the overwhelming elephant in the series, which Rick, you would know nothing about because he didn't watch past the pilot, that she literally doesn't know what sex is. She doesn't know where babies come from.
Yeah.
She doesn't know that that's how sex works. She doesn't know what cum is. When Duke comes for the first time, she's like, did that hurt you? Like, what? And to be fair, it does look like it hurts because he does make a very strange O face.
I mean,
but
that's
the fact that like, her mother let her be married and like toxic, just so toxic.
Yeah,
she had all those brothers.
How old is she supposed to be?
Don't want to know.
17, I think.
Yeah,
I bet you younger. That is my guess. I'll say though, for someone who starts the show knowing nothing about fucking, she's a quick learner. She learns real fast.
It's natural, and man. That's
she's very good at
that's ancestral,
it.
Never, ancestral knowledge. You it's like riding a bike through your ancestors.
And first of all, Jesus Christ, Garrett. Yeah, I'm sorry. But and the whole thing is supposed to be like empowering Shonda Rhimes, and then like her whole story is about being married off, and it's not like she even finds independence through all of that. It's more that like she just finds her G spot.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, she's 21. In the books.
She's 21 in
the
books.
Oh, thank God. Oh, okay. I don't believe that that's historically accurate, but yeah. Thank God.
But thank God, yeah. 21 is great because he just left college, so he should be like, 28, 29?
What?
I mean, yeah. he left Oxford, or like they met in Oxford or whatever, him and the brother, yeah. The Duke. And then he like explored for a while. So I'm putting him at 28.
Explored. 28. I do love the one sister who for sure is a lesbian that they're going to say for season two. That's like the smart, sassy yeah. book one who's like anti-society, like totally.
She was cool.
And how fucking annoying was that by like episode two? I was like, okay, I get it. You're like the like non-binary, like butch sister. Got it. Yeah. And then it was like, that was her note the entire series. And I'm like, just make out with your fucking neighbor already. Yeah. Like, just fucking do it.
I think they're saving a lot of her stories for a different season.
You were right. He's supposed to be 29, the Duke.
Oh, there it is. He looks a good amount older than her. So that makes sense. That tracks.
Oh, another thing I loved? The music. The fucking music.
Did you get any of that in the pilot, Garrick? Did you notice? Oh, he's leaving. He
just
don't like
left. He's officially left. I'm sorry, but when you put thank you next on violin, I don't give a fuck who you are. You are dancing!
Oh my God.
You are dancing.
Oh my God. I can talk like this too.
You get Ariana Grande, Shawn Mendes, Maroon 5.
The darkness. I was born in it.
Sorry. Okay.
You're so mad because at first you were like, wait, why do I know this song? And then you were like, God damn it.
Your mouth just drops.
How dare they? And you know it's all post-edit. So you know that they were actually doing all of those dancing like Renaissance scenes right. In pure silence.
In pure silence.
There I just want to point out for music. A second, Garrick, that your favorite movie of the year, Promising Young Woman, begins with an Ariana Grande song. Oh, similar. Also has an orchestral version of Britney Spears' Toxic. Therefore, yeah. I would say these two projects are cut from the same cloth.
Yes, you got me there. as did Us have an orchestral version or like a weirder, darker version of I Got Five on It. And that was great. And I love that. But this
one you didn't like.
I didn't like it at all. It felt like they were watching YouTube and they're just like, man, look at this subway violinist playing Ariana Grande. We should hire that person. And it's like, no,
oh my
no,
God.
let them have their 20 young. Million hits on YouTube. Let them leave them alone. Don't bring it into this world.
I appreciated the modernization of the show because, like, again, I don't want to watch the stuffy old Pride and Prejudice Sense and Sensibility shit. That's just me. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
But like the costuming was a little more modern and colorful and anachronistic. Yeah. And if you go on YouTube, it is so funny. There's so many videos of period costume experts ripping this show apart. It's like, it's not accurate.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, right. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But you got that. You got the anachronistic music. Some of the language is a little more well, not really. They still call everyone. Sorry. Can I talk about this? I'm going off the rails.
Yeah.
The thing that made me want to throw my TV off the ledge is the way that they pronounce mama the whole show. I wanted
they
to
They say
die.
It like an old Creole auntie. Like, you guys do not get to fucking say, why? There was no accent. And it really made me question if she really was their mother or if that was like an endearing term for like older sister. I hated it. Hated
but
it.
Everyone
right
says
you.
It. And like, I'm sure that is how you said it back then. Doesn't make me hate it anymore.
I don't think that's how you said it at all. But so who was being called mama? Was it the
mother?
The queen? Was it the
all
queen?
The mothers.
All the mothers. Every mother.
Because even Simon says it. He says, I need your help to get the mama's eyes off of me.
Oh my God.
I can't. I hated it.
I already think British people are silly, but this show really took it over the edge for me.
Honestly, though, it brought some hot dialogue. I mean, if I have to tell you the number of tweets I saw saying, if my boyfriend doesn't say that he burns for me, I don't want it. And I'm like, y'all, that's a UTI or chlamydia. You do not want him to fucking burn for you. I get it, it's supposed to be romantic, but like, our expectations are just so low as women. We're just like, look me in the eyes when we fuck and I'll fall in love. Which he does. He looks her straight in the eyes. Yeah. Eyes open the entire time.
Yeah.
They fuck, which just like terrifies me. And also just like piggybacking off of my own comment I just made, never has anyone ever gotten, getting your cherry popped the right way. Everyone's
it's
like,
painful.
This is gonna hurt for a second. And then it's like, it goes from like, ow, to like, oh, like three thrusts. Never.
Yeah.
Has that happened?
Yeah. I don't know, Kelsey. I saw it in a TV show.
I know.
The TV told me that you guys like it after three thrusts, so I'm going to believe the TV.
You know who did once get it semi-correct, and I hate that this is a Guilty Pleasures throwback, but in 50 Shades of Grey, after they fuck, he draws her a hot bath with some healing fucking bubbles, and I'm like, you know what? A bitch would.
Yeah.
That's probably the most accurate
post-virginity
losing scene I've ever. Oh, virginity is a construct, all that, but like, you're not losing anything. You're gaining.
Gaining. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like that. Mm-hmm. That was poetic.
I'm happy that we keep returning to the sex scene because I too have more to say about it. Garrick, you didn't get there. But the sex scene begins with him being like, hey, did you touch yourself at home like I told you to? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, show me. And he makes her it's some very, I was like, whoa, guys, whoa. This
it
is
goes
going
zero
there.
To 60 very quick. Yeah. Yeah. And it's hot in a way that makes you uncomfortable. Like, no one was around me when I was watching this, and I found myself like kind of looking over my shoulder and like holding the Apple remote in my hand just in case I needed to like pause it, because it was so graphic at times.
So I as someone who does not watch stuff from this period, the whole like, I actually found myself quite endeared with the calling upon a lady, all those scenes. The whole idea of like bringing her gifts and then you do the dance. And everyone seems to know the same dance, which I don't understand how that works, because I barely know the cha-cha slide and they're telling me what to do in that.
But imagine if the cha-cha slide was the only dance. So there you go. Everybody would know it.
They didn't have YouTube tutorials or TikTok dances back then. It was like the four fucking razzle dazzle waltz moves.
I think you learn.
I want to see this as a reality dating show. It's like The Bachelor, but the 1700s, and they're calling upon the lady, and it starts with 12 guys, and she whittles it down until she finds herself a duke, right?
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, but one of them brought her a puppy Yorkshire Terrier, and at first I was like, I want that, and then I was like, I don't want that. If someone brought me a puppy, I'd be like, definitely not him. Yeah. But like, they bring you chocolates and flowers and jewelry. Like, that is setting up unrealistic dating expectations as a woman, because now like Valentine's is right down around the corner, and I've got a lot on my mind for what I should be getting. I'm worth it.
Yeah.
Hear me out. Maybe the patriarchy wasn't all terrible. You got fucked.
All right. Well, here's where it becomes Garrick and Kelsey's podcast.
On the contrary, talking about The Bachelor, I have an idea for that. If The Bachelor was, or The Bachelorette was The Bachelorette, right? And then inside of the house, it was Bad Girls Club. Love it.
Oh,
love it. That perfect
isn't
television.
That kind of what it is a little bit.
I want them to fight. I want them to fight each other inside of that house. Okay. Like constantly.
Yeah.
Like
that's a sorority. Mm. I think you just need to go hang out on a couple like, you know, Bible Belt campuses.
Can't do that. Can't. No, not at the not at my big age. I can't go hang out on college campuses, Kelsey.
That's a good point. I did graduate when I was 16. No, but Zach brought up a good point that Bridgerton has making look like like suppressed woman the most glamorous job. Yeah.
Oh, it
of
just
all
seems
time.
Wonderful.
Like someone dresses you, you've got people cooking for you, yeah. You got men just like waiting to throw a baby in you, hoping that it's a boy. If it's not, they like fucking hang it upside down and like throw it out the window or something, I think. It's like makes becoming someone's wife look like the most beautiful thing. And then once you're their wife, what you find out in like episode 4 or 5, like whenever she does become the wife, is that everything falls apart. Like your whole life, you've been groomed essentially to just be like a piece of ass. And once you start to produce offspring, it's over. Like most people are just in these marriages because of contracts or land or like trying to bring powerful families together. And that in this show, which I thought was a nice surprise that I didn't expect, is that the women actually have this secret club that's basically like a women's strip club with like cards and liquor and secret telling and gambling. And that's where, yeah, the Illuminati. It's where like Lady Plainface goes after like the honeymoon gets a little like boring and they're like, oh, honey, you have no idea. This is just the start. Like I have, you know, an affair with this man and that like no one's faithful.
No, is that what's coming up? Is that what happens after I'm done watching? Wait, she just starts cheating on him?
Well, basically it's like once you have sex, you're ruined as a woman. Is
right,
how they see
sure,
it. So you're kind of just like, yeah, you're not pure anymore. It's kind of like, man, you're just old bag bones to be thrown around. So it's either like you're already married off and you have to cheat, like, and be strategic about your fucking, or you were like a whore / opera singer, because in this show, the opera singer is a whore, which I didn't know was actually more true to real life. I thought opera singers were seen in like very high artistic regard back in the day, so but too. It's more like, no, you were like trash performer, poor peddler person. Or you're like a whore, orgy fiend who is just bone in any chance you get, which is like the other type of lady in this show. You get either like pristine, clean Bridgerton or like fucking slag.
Fucking slag, mate.
Mate.
They keep saying mate.
Mate. Wrong country. But tons of representation.
One thing that shocked me, it's in the first couple episodes. Everyone in this show is a superhero. So Simon the Duke has these very homoerotic boxing scenes where he and his buddy just beat the fuck out of each other.
Bare knuckle
bare
boxing.
Fist to the face. No bruise.
No, you can't bruise that face. His face is made out of steel.
And then he has a scene where he beats someone up in an alleyway, and the amount and power with which he's punched. I mean, that guy should be dead. That guy should be hospitalized. And instead he comes and he just like his face is a little fucked up the next day.
I don't think any show has ever shown like how realistic punching or getting punched is.
Yeah.
Like one punch and like usually someone's hand is broken and someone is like disfigured.
Your shit hurts. It literally like it's like two hits to the face and you're done.
You've been punched?
Yes, I've been punched.
Tell me a time you've been punched.
I take martial arts. I've been jumped before. All kinds of shit. Like, we can talk about this off the podcast.
I'm just trying to think, like, you're so nice.
Yeah.
And what kind of shit would you get yourself into? But you
nice guys hard. Get punched.
Guys get punched. I think it's just a whole masculinity thing. Where it's just like, oh, you're walking to the bus and you get pressed and you're just like, nah, I'm not going to give you my shoes. And you try to run and then you get your ass beat. So it's like shit you know, but not in a like a fair way. I don't think I've ever been in like I'm going to beat your ass type of fight, like me aggressing. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. You get punched in the face once, it's over.
Yeah.
You get
once your face has been punched, all right,
you're
win.
Done.
Yeah. You can also tell the type of person that's been punched in the face. Like,
I couldn't tell with you.
I think it's because of the niceness, because it's just like, please don't hit me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think other people, but it's just like an unfounded confidence that they walk around in the world, and you're just like, you're a little too entitled. I feel like you've never been hit in the face before.
Oh my God. And it's usually also like tall men. Yeah,
because you can't reach them.
You can't reach them.
You can't reach their face.
But if someone's like, if it's like 6 foot or lower, you've probably been punched because of like wrong place, wrong time, or like drunk debacle, or like toxic masculinity, brother wrestling. Speaking of homoerotic brotherly wrestling, I'm so glad you brought this up, Zach, because I did forget and I skipped over this. I did a whole series on my TikTok when I started watching Bridgerton where I was trying to guess who was gay.
Right, because that was a big thing. It was teased in the trailer, like, oh, yes, this is not just a dope period piece that has black characters. We got gay shit coming.
Yeah.
We have black people, and that's it. And we didn't even do that right. We're not going to get any gays. And we're gonna make it feel like it is, because they're all in fucking frilly shirts and shit. So I kept guessing. I was like, there's no way that this guy's not gay. This has to be it. He's 100% it. And then they were always all straight. I even at one point assumed that the Duke, the reason why he didn't want to get married and didn't want to have children, was because he was in love with the older brother. Now that is the love story that I would have been like, thank you for taking a risk. But alas, none of the main characters are gay. We do get to see one clip of a dude fucking at a fucking artist retreat.
It's not even a clip. It's 2 seconds. He opens the door and goes, oh, and then closes the door. That's it.
Wait, hold on. Jared just walked in. What did you just look? Show the camera what you just walked in with.
Aww.
What the fuck?
Oh my God.
Did you hear me talking?
A gentleman caller arrives, Kelsey.
I call myself Lady Dara.
Oh my God.
My boyfriend just walked in with like 20 fucking roses. Doesn't happen.
I feel like it happens a lot, that was and you're wild. Trying to downplay it.
No, I swear to God. He said he brought him on the side of the road. Yeah. But I got side of the road. I'm a side of the road flower. Listen.
Wait till he finds out what your dowry is, though. He's going to be pissed.
Oh, my God. I forgot about the dowry. Forget the lack of gay characters. Let's talk about dowry. How much are we each worth? How much do you think each of our fathers would pay for someone else to marry us?
Because the idea of the dowry basically is like, hey, you're going to have to take care of her. Yeah. Here's how much it's going to cost. Yeah. I know it's a burden. Thank you. Right? That's the idea.
Your sheets. Yeah. Your sheets are going to be ruined once a month. Like, I don't know. She's going to need like conditioner. We don't need that here. Like, yeah, here's
money. In that case, I assume that I'm quite expensive because anyone who takes on the burden of me, you got to pay. You got to get paid for that.
Yeah. I think so too, because my room isn't clean right now, you know? Like, I'm going to dirty up both of our rooms, you know?
Like, so. Ooh, but you're right. I do bring a lot to the table. I'm high maintenance, but it's because I live high maintenance-ly and I make sure to keep it nice. So in a weird way, at first I was going to put a hard $50K. My dad's paying someone $50K for sure to marry me. But now I think I'm going to go, like, 25, because I can clean, and boy do I give a blowjob. You know what I'm saying? I can give a good blowjob.
Are we saying 25? That's worth something. Back then or now?
Now.
Now. Okay.
That doesn't feel like a lot to take care of someone. That doesn't feel like for a their lot. Life.
Yeah, not for the life.
I have no frame of reference, Kelsey. I don't know the cost of a person.
Right.
I'm just saying, if the idea is you are now being burdened to take care of this person forever, 25K is going to last a couple months.
A couple months. Yeah, I think we need to do like the math on like on how much 25K was back then and all of that stuff, and then push it forth and all that stuff. Or like how much
Daphne
was, you know, sold off for, and do the math on that. And then,
well,
come back
here's the fun part that you didn't, this just shows how much of a gentleman the Duke is that he actually won't accept a dowry And when the mother like insists, he's like, I will give that to Daphne to do whatever she wants. If she wants to like get an education or she wants to take a painting class, maybe paint and sip on the weekends. I don't know. I'm going to put it in her bank account because he's such a nice guy. He doesn't believe in dowries.
He's
trying
so
to break it.
Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just but an extension of his hotness.
It's just like what it,
we have to talk
what
about.
Do with this? Be more attractive.
We do have to talk about the most, how do I put this? The biggest surprise, I think, of the whole series for me was finding out why the Duke doesn't want to get married and specifically have children.
It's a good moment, Garrick, and you missed it. Do you have any guesses?
Didn't his mom died in childbirth, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's like pretty terrible. And then his dad.
Traumatic.
His dad was like mean to him because he had a stutter. I watched the beginning of the second episode.
We got him. We got him. He's hooked. He loves the show. He's going to binge the whole thing.
You like it.
That was the beginning
of
the second
episode. You son of a bitch. You fucking like it. You little liar.
I was getting into it and I was just like, okay, I can see.
No, I'm supposed to hate this.
Yeah,
we're just turn
like,
it
no,
off.
No, no, no. I wanted to be grumpy.
Yeah, okay.
But I can't.
I like so robots and sci-fi, not this.
Exactly.
Is that his father was so old and miserable and angry that he gets revenge by promising to his father that he's going to make his own life miserable and lonely and angry. What kind of sense, my two fellow friends that are men, does that fucking make?
So Garrick, on his deathbed... Yeah. The Duke goes to his father, and as his father is dying, he says, I shall never sire a child. Your name will die with me. It was cold,
man. That's pretty cool. Because, like, also, like, that's all he cared about.
Oh, that was another part of, like, the whole, like, we're black characters in this. We have, we've been given a chance in this world, so we have to maintain the lineage. And so, not only was the Duke saying, like, we're gonna, like, our family name is gonna die, but we're gonna give up this spot that Britain has so graciously given to us. So, it was like a double whammy. But that... the thing that doesn't make sense to me is the dad's dead. He literally could have like gone outside and been like, okay, kids, let's go. I made my wish to my daddy. Like, why does it matter? His dad's never going to know.
Yeah. I will say that's one of the, like from a screenwriting perspective, one of the things I had the biggest problem with in the first two episodes is that the Duke is a character with a negative want. His only want is that he doesn't want. And so, like, in a scene, his motivations are a little wishy-washy. He eases into it once he starts to figure himself out. But I'm like, dude, just fucking want something.
Yeah.
Want anything. As opposed to, oh, I want to not want. Ugh.
He wanted that plain face pussy.
Right. And then he still, like, he still lost. Right? Like, he lost the thing to his dad. Like, all of that stuff doesn't matter because he got married.
And that means then season two, like, she's gonna, like, they're gonna be having sex and, like, she's gonna, like, keep him on her body and then
oh,
she's
Zach,
gonna
that
get...
Oh, that happens in the next episode you're gonna watch.
See? And then she's gonna get pregnant and they're gonna get mad at each other. And I don't wanna watch that. I just wanna watch them fuck. I, like, from this point on, where I'm at in the show, I only want everyone to fall in love always forever. I don't want the drama. I just want sweet, sweet 1722 lovemaking. Yes, well, that's what the television night I want, Kelsey.
I don't think you know what you want. I think Shonda's giving you exactly what you fucking deserve and
Shonda,
you don't even
Shonda
know
is,
it.
She is tapping in to the structure that humans need in a storytelling wise, all that stuff, or just like all of the beats that you need story wise. I'm gonna hit them, and you're gonna watch the shit out of this. I don't. It doesn't matter.
Is it gonna be politically correct? No. Nope.
What you don't like, you're gonna watch it because I'm gonna leave you on a cliffhanger, and then you're gonna be like, "Whoa, what happens at the end? God damn it, fuck!" And you keep watching, and you ruin 3 hours of your life, of your day. Anyway.
You know, this might be a little too inside baseball, but like we went to Shondaland to pitch our very like culturally impactful documentary series about child incarceration with the mentally ill. And the response we got back, this was pre-Bridgerton. Bridgerton's about to drop was, we're not stepping into that kind of content right now. And then Bridgerton dropped and I was like, oh,
okay.
This isn't better. It's just different. It's just the other thing. See why? I was just like, fair, man. Fair. Yeah. You don't have to.
And this has been Outing Celebrities with Kelsey.
We got to it.
We got there.
Shonda, please hire me. I would literally do anything for you.
So I have all this respect for Shonda, but I have, I think my absolute, we've been tiptoeing around this, my absolute biggest complaint with the show and my note for season two, my wish, my hope. The Duke. So hot. Daphne, sure, she looks like a child, but I get it. She's pretty. No one else was hot, okay? This is what we talked about. And in these types of shows, I want it to be like the OC, where like the A story's hot, the B story's hot, the C story's hot, and then freaking Rachel's gonna go from Ross, she's gonna get with Joey. I want everybody to be intermingling, and frankly, I don't want anyone else to get together. I don't want to see anyone else kiss. Mm-mm. I don't care about it. Right. And I think the...
Unless it's gay.
Yeah, I'll take... So I need new characters in season two, and I need to want desperately with every fiber of my being for them to all kiss the way that I needed Daphne and Simon to kiss. That's what I need from this show.
Yeah, I'm just curious, like, what the fuck, if they're gonna follow the books and go with the older brother for the next season, like, he's trash. We know he's trash. He's like gatekeeping his sister's pussy, which is so fucking weird in itself. He like can't take on the responsibility of the family name, which is like toxic in its own right, but like do fucking something other than like cry in your opera / like poor artist's bosoms who you can't even like nut up and fucking like do something right with her. It's like, what? I don't like him. What's redeeming about him to see in season two? He goes to fucking war? That'd be okay, I guess.
He gets shot and dies.
Oh, wait, you didn't. When you just said that, you just made me forget. Like, okay, before we go on to all the awful guilty things, can I say one last pleasure thing?
Kelsey, do you think we haven't been in section two this entire time? We're almost done with the episode.
We're in section two? I've been holding off on section two.
I didn't know either.
Well, we just kind of started jumping all around. We've been so go do your thing.
To be fair, I feel like Rick's been pretty positive.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive. I've been saying, I actually like the story structure.
Yeah. He watched episode two. But like, seriously, I just have to point out one more insanely, I guess this is a little bit of a guilty pleasure moment, is when they fully decided the way to put respect on the Bridgerton name was by having a full-on like Hamilton moment duel where two best friends decided the only other way to save the family name was that two best friends of many, many moons have to duel each other in a field at dawn.
It was
like, give me my Hamilton moment. I was like, I'm not throwing away my shot. I'm not. And then I was like, let's go. And then the most lame. My country,
I'm young. Yeah.
Yes. And then the most lame duel of all time.
Yeah, because Daphne wrote in like a goddamn superhero, saved the day. All right, let's get in some guilts.
Oh my God. Everything.
Okay, my number one guilt is that the entire series is Gossip Girl. I fucking love Gossip Girl, but just call it Gossip Girl. The entire time
it's Elizabethan,
they're teasing.
Gossip Girl.
Thank you. It's Elizabethan. Was that the word you were looking for? No, we
don't. Yeah, he said he doesn't.
Regency period. That's what it was.
Regency period. Regency period.
I don't know what that is.
Elizabethan Gossip Girl. I'm sorry.
I'm into it.
But like, why is it a mystery Elizabethan romance novel now? Like, this entire show, you become obsessed with everyone else, including the queen, who has like nothing better to do than like reign title and do coke off gold spoons, is figuring out who Lady Whistledown is. And because you haven't fucking finished it, you don't know who it is, Zach.
I got a spoiler and I'm pretty upset about it.
Oh, God.
I was looking up fun facts for this episode, and then it was like,
oh fuck.
I'm surprised, Rick, though. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, what is it?
I did not. It made
I'm not
no
telling you who Gossip
sense.
Girl is, Garrick. You gotta watch the series, bro.
I do want to hear you guess, though. Like, off of 1.1 episodes, who do you think
I think it's a gossip boy. Ooh.
Rick, no!
Do you know who Gossip Gossip Girl was in Gossip Girl?
Yeah, it was a guy. Yeah, it was
Dan Humphrey.
Yeah. Dan Humphrey.
Wait, so who do you really think it is?
It might be the Duke. I don't know.
I wanted to make you think it was.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cool.
It's not. So yeah, I was like pissed that was it, because I think that's what we call a letdown. Mm-hmm.
So my main one, going back to the race stuff, is that
yes.
because everything else is like, I don't like period pieces. Every time I see somebody with those curls on their fucking head, I'm just like, this is annoying, blah blah blah. I would rather us just be in modern times. So back to the race stuff. Whenever you sprinkle in black people in like the past, it no matter what you try to do, it is going to bring up an unpleasant thought, because you're just like, okay, this is just no, it's going to take me out of it, because I'm supposed to be watching something to escape, and seeing black people back in the in those times, I'm just like, oh my God, this is fucking, no, they would have, this wouldn't have been the case. So them like trying to sprinkle in black people like fucking we're toppings or whatever the fuck feels weird, because we don't have that history at all. We never had that history. So forcing us into white history feels weird. It's always gonna feel like this isn't for racist us itself. At all. This is for a white audience. This isn't for us, you know, America as a whole at all. This is just for a white audience to feel a little bit better about themselves. Be like, well, look, there's black people in it, so my black girlfriend can watch it. And she's like, no, she's not gonna like it either. She's not gonna like it. She's gonna be mad at it like I am. But also they kept on like flip flopping on the reason why, like, just as you guys were explaining it just now, we're just like, here's why there are black people in these positions of power. Well, is it that racism doesn't exist in this world, or that they're the queens now?
I agree. I mean, I kind of was only half watching that scene and making dinner, but it seemed like it made it worse.
Yeah,
the fact it's a that they tried to have a reason for it.
Yeah,
it was like, oh no, yeah. Right. no, guys, right. Guys, no.
Who bought this show? Shonda Ron, okay, let's just throw them in there. Just throw black people in there, please. That like we can figure it out, and maybe in like the third episode we'll write a paragraph about it or something like that.
Kelsey, do you know are they black in the book? I have no idea.
I'm looking it up actually, because now that I'm thinking more about it, if they're not black in the book, and the way that we like, because I'm even guilty of doing it this entire episode, fetishize the Duke, who is the lead black man character now.
Yeah.
They were like,
it's there. And this is why I'm always saying, like, just make him 007. Don't make him this fucking Duke of Westchester bullshit, because we know that's not what would have happened. Make him 007, force him into a role that's modern, where it's just like, you're not looking the whole time like, why is this black person in this, you know, in this role? It doesn't make sense. Of course it makes sense. Look at him. He's fucking attractive.
Let me plus one you there. So I found out that Marina, who is the only black woman under the age of 60 in this show, she's a made up character for this show. She's not in the book.
No! Yeah.
But I will say that they do her so dirty in this season. Yeah, she has the shittiest plot line. She got knocked up out of wedlock. She's like whatever. She's sullied and she's just trying to entrap someone. Like, it is a terrible, shitty plot line, and she seems dope. So I agree with you, Carrick. Yeah.
And the characters in the book, source material, are all white. So
There it is.
I was like, maybe you can it's always, a little
you can always
better
tell. You can always tell. The fact that, okay, so it the show has to be about that. That's another thing. When you have black characters in those positions, it has to be about it. Because it's so weird to see them every time, and you're just like, why is she wearing this powdered wig? I keep on saying powdered wig because that is the most upsetting part about it. It's just like, well, this wig is mimicking white hair, so why would she be wearing, you know, like, that doesn't make any sense. If you're at a place of power, if the queen of a nation is black, everybody will be wearing like you know, like fucking Afro wig. Like, and that's, you know, sus to us now. But, you know, if the shoe's on the other foot, blah, 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 it wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't make more sense for them to have like a kinky wig or something like that.
There's a moment, and I was watching a lot of like behind the scenes, obviously, because once I finished, I was like, I need more. Yeah. Give me more. The hairstylist, like the wig stylist in the show, is showing the actress who plays the queen the like wigs for the first time. And he's like a painfully white gay guy who's like, you know, open your eyes. And she's like, oh, wow. Yeah. And he's like, look, there's locks in it. Do you see the locks? Like they put like braided locks down like the backside of like what a white gay guy's amalgamation of like a black queen's wig would look like. And it's just,
it is such like a, so if you're going to do any type of like that, like, oh, the past stuff, it has to look like Afrofuturism, like in Black Panther, where it's just like, oh, this is what this world would look like if from the ground up we imagine what it would be like if Black people were in power, if Black people were in a position to establish a look and so on and so forth. And they just didn't do that. They just forced them into an Elizabethan, oh, I look like the Queen of London, but I'm just...
That would be a cooler show. Because, yeah, you are right. Like, it just kind of tiptoed around the fact of, like, hey, it's the same old 1700s, but this time with black people. Like, but don't even worry about why they're here. And you're right. It can't be the same thing. Yeah. It is... Their histories... you cannot just inject one in the other and extract one from... Like,
right.
Yeah, you have to...
Yeah,
rip it up and start over from the ground up.
Right,
and that would make for richer visual storytelling.
Yeah, so you know how jarring it looks like to see a white kid with cornrows. That's how it. That's how I feel whenever I see a black person in those powdered wigs.
That's the
I finally figured out why it looked weird. It is the equivalent, like, where you're just like, you're not supposed to be wearing that. It's the same shit. It's like that looks weird on you.
Yeah, and there's also like I think one Asian character that was throughout the rest of, and it, of course it's like a dancer. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, they use the same.
If it was, I didn't see her.
Yeah, well, I think because it was a man. I think like you pointed out such a good thing, Rick, to like think about it historically too. Like if we're going to just fucking rewrite history, if it was truly coming from a black writer's room and from black executives and people who are genuinely interested in making a change in the way like our media is represented, this is not what black people would have written. No, and no. I think that's what you were saying from the beginning. And this is not what we
asked
for.
This is not what we asked for at all.
If you're going to redo it, break the fucking rules. Like break, like make, then go there, make it. And I do hope that season two, like.
That is just me coming from a logic standpoint. Not even like, oh, this is, you know, like where it's just like, okay, this doesn't track logically, whatever. But if you want to, like, if this brings like a young black woman joy to see herself in, you know, in wedding dresses all of the time, go for that. Beautiful. That is such a nice thing to see, and to see like that spark in people's eyes where it's just like, oh, I can cosplay as this person or whatever. But like, if you're actually writing this as a, like as a story, it doesn't make it doesn't make sense. You only have to go like one layer deep to be like, oh, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That doesn't track.
I have more news. While this was executive produced by Shonda, it was created and written and showran by Chris Van Dusen, who is a white man.
Oh, there you go.
Who is a white man.
Where's my fucking air horn? I need my air horn.
Where's Miles? Miles, do you have an air horn on your soundboard?
You know, normally when we do the guilty portion, it's more like, ooh, that was like silly writing, as opposed to like, oh, now I need to like take a long shower and read this show.
Like, now, this is like truly the opposite of like guilty pleasures. This is like, you're guilty. You, sir, Chris McFeatherboo, whatever your fucking name was.
Wrong.
I think he's gay. It doesn't help. I did not know that. I didn't know he wrote, showran fucking directed. I had no idea that this whole thing was actually a white guy with Shonda's name slapped on
it. Derek just sitting here listening to us lust over the Duke, and he's got this truth bomb, and he waits 45 minutes to be like, hey, guess what, you motherfuckers?
Guess what? You guys shouldn't fucking like this show.
And that's why Rick is never going to tell us if he watches the rest.
No,
to us, we will never know.
Watch the rest of it, it is because Shonda Rhimes knows what TV should be and what it should look like. Yes. And she knows the structure of it. It is nothing about anything else.
Yes. Fucking. I feel like that's the best guilty to end on, of just like white guilt. You all should be feeling it
yum,
now.
Yum, it tastes so good. Yum, yum, yum.
My white tears are hydrating your ears, listeners. You should feel bad if you liked this show.
The greatest guilt of all.
Yes, white guilt. Goddamn.
Well, I have some fun facts if you want to hear them.
I want to hear them.
Are they fun? Are
They're
they
not fun? That fun? Because
okay,
it's a new show. Did you know there were 7,500 costume pieces designed for this season? That's a lot, and honestly, it shows that
they all looked like 2001 fucking homecoming dresses.
Yeah, fucking Willy Wonka ass suits and dress. It was so annoying. She like tipped her hat, or the Duke tipped his hat at a Willy Wonka looking motherfucker, and I was just
Willy
like,
Wonka?
Willy Wonka looking motherfucker. That's exactly.
Wait.
That
Derek,
is where
you're
I
gonna
put my-
love this. Guess who they're pinning to play the new Willy Wonka.
Who?
The Duke?
I'm just going to hold this silence for just a second longer and enjoy it. Timothy Chalamet.
No!
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 Why?
What?
No, why would he... See, man...
He was going to be somebody! He was going to be somebody!
I mean...
What?
I think that his performance in, like, Dune would have, like, really... skyrocketed him into like aww, pure stardom, and then the first thing he does with it is play Willy Wonka.
I am
but you
so
have to say
shook
Willy Wonka
to my
Willy
core
Wonka.
Right.
Yeah, just Willy now. Wonka and the Chocolate Factorer.
The Duke would have been a better answer. That's what they should be looking into. Yeah.
Oh my God, why would he?
I know. I'm sorry. I just ruined the episode with that information.
Why would he do that?
I didn't know. I was like, well, you can't make me feel worse than recognizing my white guilt. And but you did. You
did.
Timothy Chalamet is Willy, who I adore.
Yeah,
as Willy Wonka.
Okay, give us another fact.
Fun fact number two. I was really curious about all the bumblebees all around the show. I don't know if you noticed that they're little bees throughout the entire show, and it seems to be a tribute to the books. Where the Bridgerton father, Edmund, died after he was stung by a bee.
Loser.
What in the my girl?
I don't know.
You can't just do you were stung by a bee. You have to go full my girl or none at all.
I feel like exhausted from this episode.
Yeah, honestly. I'm like got a pain flare that's on like 100. And I don't know if it's just because I've been talking too much or like grinding my teeth.
You've been grinding your teeth.
I'm gonna need a fucking Xanax after this episode. I gotta go watch Promising Young Woman or something to go hype myself up back into fucking.
Well, final thoughts. Who wants to kick us off? Should you watch Bridgerton?
I'll do it. It's 100% a guilty pleasure. It's 100% a guilty pleasure, and you fucking know why, you little shits. You all fucking know why. It's a guilty pleasure. Watch
it. Like if you
watch,
say
watch it.
Pleasure, I'm
watch it.
Signing off.
Watch it and know why you should feel bad about it every time you look at the Duke's face and be like, he's saucy or whatever the fuck people say these days. I don't know. I'm
gonna say guilty pleasure in the most like of its definition. Yeah. Like I've never felt more right about this being the title of the show because like I feel very guilty right now. And I'm going to carry that. You know what? I'm going to carry that weight. Like,
it's hot
well.
In here.
Yeah.
Because I watched the whole thing very enthusiastically. So I'm going to have, I can't pretend like I didn't. So I'm going with guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I got to agree with my co-host here. I would say that this show, look, you're going to love it. You're going to come in and say, I don't want to love it. And then by the end, you're going to be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I am just, I burn for this show. That's what I have to say. I have to admit it. And you know what? When season two rolls around, I'm going to be there.
You're in there.
And I hope, look, I think that you should watch this with your significant other because it's like kind of going to get the mood going.
Oh.
I watched it alone.
Nothing else.
I don't want you to pick. I don't want you to picture anything. Yeah. I watched this by myself, but...
Jesus, Zach. What a way to end this. Everyone thinking about your fucking dick. Yeah, your pants have been off this entire episode. I don't know if the audience knows this, but...
Yeah, I was sweating in the beginning, so I slowly slipped my sweatpants off, and then... thighs have been sticking to the chair in a way that I don't like, and then Garrick started talking, and then it made me all sweaty and hot, and I'm very uncomfortable. I need to open a window or something. Well,
that's
guys,
why
thanks
we
for
have
listening.
This show, y'all. That's why we have this show, to make you think deeper.
Think deep.
Okay,
think real deep.
Okay. We did, you bet you weren't thinking of it that way before, okay? Thank you, Rick, for your fucking emotional labor. Thank you, Shonda, for the fucking sacrifice
you
made
trying,
for us.
Thank you for trying, Shonda. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Shonda.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, guys, let us know what you think about Bridgerton. Sound off below. Also, please let us know what you want to see us watch next. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave us 5 stars. Garrick, where can people find you?
Garrick Bernard on Instagram. Just follow there. I don't post on Twitter anymore.
Oh, you used to be one of my favorite Twitter followers.
Thank you.
What happened?
I just got over the fact that people can screenshot your stuff, and I was just like, all right, let me look, go away.
Let me just real quick.
Yeah, let me just retry.
No, TikTok is where it's at. So follow me there at Kelsey Dara. Always check out hashtag Justice for Shreya, but also follow me on TikTok.
You know what? Sure. Follow me on TikTok too. I don't post much, but I'll do it for you. And tell your friends about the show. We're having fun doing it, so come join us. Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay guilty.